Many top fast food executives are speaking out against racial injustice and police brutality, including Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy. We're going to talk about his statement and action the company is taking. Hi, I'm your host, Allison Storm.
And I'm Jim Mann, and it's been a pretty rough week for me.
For you? You've been at the beach.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, actually, I've been at the beach, and it was perfect weather, and there was just nothing going on there other than beach people.
Wow.
I know. It's been a rough week for me, but we do have TV, so I've been checking out what's going on.
Yeah, I got to admit, Jim, I was a little jealous that you kind of got to escape and check out. I have been trying to spend less time on social media and just more time spreading love in my community. I am a relatively new mom of a black daughter, and I'm white, in case people are listening.
Wait, what?
Yes. I've listened to some podcasts lately about race and racism, and it's interesting because a lot of times the people talking don't tell you what they are, and we can't see you. So it's kind of like you don't know what perspective they're coming from, or if, you know, maybe that's not important. I don't know. But I'm a white mom with a black daughter, and trying to navigate this has not been easy. But, you know, that's okay. I'm here for it. And I want change for the sake of my daughter and for all black people. And so the other day, while you were lounging at the beach, I just said to my kids, they are 7 and 4. And I said, you guys, the world is a really crazy place right now. Can we just please go do something really nice, no strings attached? I'm like, what? Hit me with your best idea. And they're like, Mommy, let's go get donuts and hand them out. And at first I was a little disappointed because I think they should have said nuggets or waffle fries, but they said donuts.
You did discipline them, didn't you?
I know. I was like, fine, we'll go get donuts. So I bought them 2 dozen donuts, and we put them in a wagon, and we went downtown, and they just handed them out, and they wore little rubber gloves and smiled at everyone and spread some joy, and they were just received so well. And I really loved that moment because did it change the world? No, probably not, but it felt really good at the time to just do something simple and show love in that way. But again, next time we're doing nuggets.
Yeah, I did notice a shift in the world when
because
you did
of that.
Yeah, I didn't know what happened, but I noticed a shift. I thought, Allison's doing something with the kids.
Well, thank you for that, Jim. We don't want to ignore what's going on, but at the same time, I mean, let's be honest, we're a Chick-fil-A podcast, you know, like people, it's not like people are coming to us for news headlines or debates and all of it, unless, you know, you're debating hashtag team strip or hashtag team nugget, something like that.
Yeah. And what's weird about that is I've changed over to nuggets, but that's another.
What?
I know. The world is messed up right now. So.
I can't take another thing like this. You and I used to agree. What?
That's why I changed, I guess.
What happened? Like, what is your... Why?
I don't know. I'm just so confused.
Well, maybe we should have this discussion off mic.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I did appreciate Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy's response. And since you were gallivanting at the beach, I don't know if you saw it.
I did not.
But he wrote, pretty powerful. He said, It starts at home. This is where values begin. We must teach our children about leadership, love, and justice. We must use our influence in our own business to be responsible capitalists who meet the needs of society. We must use our influence so that all of our communities can participate in the rising tide of prosperity and hope. We must have intentional, difficult conversations with coworkers and strangers. We need to be curious to understand the needs of others. It's okay to say, I'm not sure if I'm saying the right things right now. A lot of people don't engage in hard conversations because they're afraid they'll say something wrong. A dialogue is better than no conversation at all.
Wow, he's smart.
He is smart. And that is so true because we're all, I mean, I shouldn't say we're all, I am scared of saying the wrong thing, but I'm trying really hard not to let that keep me silent.
Yeah, I'm kind of going off my age, and people expect me to say the wrong thing. So there's a little freedom there.
Mm.
Because, yeah, it's true. It's like, if you say this, you're going to offend this group. If you say that, you're going to offend this group. So you pretty much just get used to offending people, but try not to.
Right, and maybe try to learn from, like, when you do say the wrong thing and somebody calls you out, not be defensive, but say, okay, let me think about that. Yeah, you're right. I need to change the way I say that, or, you know, my response to that. It's the mature thing to do, right, Jim?
Well, you do offend me a lot, but I just let it go because I'm a better person than you.
Great.
The most important thing is to change ourselves, because we can't change other people. I mean, I'm married. You're married. You know you can't change a spouse. Nor should you, because yours is perfect. And so is mine. Oh, my goodness. I'm offending somebody. But
one thing
you learn in marriage, boys and girls, is don't try to change your spouse. It just doesn't work.
Mm.
Nor should you. Nor do they need it. Never mind. I'm moving on.
What were we just saying about?
But Dan Cathy puts it much better than I do. That's why he's much more successful than I am. But he goes on to say, the most dangerous person in the world is a person with no hope. Let's open the door to dialogue and healing. It's okay if it's messy, because it will be. I threw that part in. And it's okay if tears are shed. We are human. Let's be moved to action. Let's join together to build a world that reflects God's love for all of us. So, I mean, the answer obviously is God.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take a part. We can't just sit back, okay, God fix this, and then we'll rejoin. No, he has to use us, first of all, to change ourselves, and then just to share love, like giving out donuts in your neighborhood.
Or Chick-fil-A sandwiches, because, you know, about a dozen Chick-fil-A restaurants were damaged by these protests. I mean, so many businesses were, but in terms of Chick-fil-A, it was like a dozen of them, they said. But operators are responding with such compassion. For instance, the operator of the location next to the College Football Hall of Fame in downtown Atlanta was handing out free sandwiches to first responders and volunteers the morning after riots. So, like, they wasted no time trying to show compassion and love in the way that they can. And that's what we should all do.
Yeah, in the chicken way. Whatever you have to offer. Because it's hard to argue with someone who's being nice to you.
Yes. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
This is really the kind of action that I believe exists because it was modeled by the founder, Truett Cathy. And it reminded me of this story. I recently read his book, Eat More Chicken, Inspire More People, which I highly recommend if you haven't read it yet. Very good. He tells the story of Eddie White. Eddie was a young black man that Truett hired to work in his Dwarf House restaurant back in 1948. So keep that in mind. This story happened in 1948. So even though Eddie was very young, I think this was probably before child labor laws, or, like, you know, they had those age limits for when kids could start working. He had to work because his family relied on his income to survive. Eddie dreamed of being a medical missionary, but he told Truett that he was going to have to drop out of high school to help support his family. And Truett basically said to this kid, I won't have any part of that. And so he went to Eddie's family and they worked out a plan where Eddie could work but also continue school. The staff at the restaurant there at the Dwarf House, they got a mayonnaise jar, an empty mayonnaise jar, and they put a label on it, Eddie's College Fund. And Eddie worked in the kitchen. So anytime somebody came in and said, wow, that food was so good, the waitresses would be like, well, that was Eddie that made your food. And you know what you can do to support him? You can put money in this jar right here. So people would put, you know, their nickels and dimes and quarters and bills and everything in this jar and contributed money for Eddie's college fund. Well, when it came time for Eddie to register for college, he still didn't have all the money he needed. And so you know what Truett did? He wrote a check to make up the difference. He put his money where his mouth was. And I know that he did that so many times throughout his life. Eddie ended up having a very successful career in education. He worked as an assistant superintendent for the school board. Eddie and Truett, they remained good friends for more than 50 years. And that is a great example of what it means to use your influence to meet the needs of others.
Wow. All that. I don't even like mayonnaise, but that was a great story.
I know.
It was an empty mayonnaise jar.
I know. I knew you were picturing a full mayonnaise jar, so that's why I had to add
Trying to put money in there. Just gets messy. But yeah, empty mayonnaise jars I like.
Uh-huh.
With money in them. Man, that guy's got a good heart.
He does.
And he makes good chicken. Yeah, I'm just sort of sure of that. Well, you know, it's getting a little serious for me because I'm not normally a serious person. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Maybe Allison. Just a little.
Yeah, I get nervous when it gets serious because I say dumb things. So when we come back, we're going to lighten the load a little bit so I could ramble about nothing or dumb things. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll come back and lighten it up.
Searching for the perfect gift for the chicken lover in your life? Check out our fan shop. Visit chickfiletpodcast.com/shop to check out never-before-seen t-shirts, jewelry, and gifts for the raving fans in your life. Seriously, this stuff is so cute. You got to see the waffle fry earrings. I gave a pair to Trudy Kathy, yes, Chick-fil-A royalty, and she loved them. Again, that's chickfiletpodcast.com/shop.
And welcome back. We've been talking earlier about some serious heavy stuff, and I just started sweating, so we're going to switch it up
a little.
It's
not pretty.
What are you saying?
Well, Jim, I have to tell you about a very disturbing headline
that I saw
this week in Ad Week. It said, in the chicken sandwich wars, KFC has a major advantage. Hmm? What? It goes on to say, don't count out the colonel.
What is wrong with people?
I know. I'm like, KFC? A major advantage? What are they talking about? Well, you do know what they're talking about, though, right?
What are they talking about?
There is Kentucky Fried Chicken has made a copycat Chick-fil-A sandwich. Yes, I see your face.
What?
I'm telling you
it's
the
beautiful.
Truth. They're testing it out in Orlando until mid-June. So here's the difference. It's the filet, because they've had a chicken sandwich before at KFC, but this filet is 20% larger. The bun's been upgraded to brioche bread. Hello, who does that sound like? And of course, they added
pickles. Yeah, I love pickles.
Yeah, but who puts pickles on a chicken sandwich? Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's, Is that their secret?
It's not a secret.
Don't tell anybody.
But how come all of a sudden KFC knocks off Chick-fil-A and now the headline says that they have a major advantage?
They don't. I mean, they do good with a bucket of chicken, okay? Their chicken's good. They stick with that and stop trying to tread on Chick-fil-A territory because you'll get swallowed up.
Well, we already have heard about that. I mean, did you ever try Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I have not done that, and I've not tried anybody else. The thing is, Allison, let me school you here a little bit. I mean, Chick-fil-A has got great food, and there are other places that have good food. However, the big difference, and apparently companies aren't realizing this, is the way they treat you.
Mm.
I mean, why can't they
learn that? Preach it.
You go somewhere else, you're like, they just can't wait for you to move on so they can do something else. Chick-fil-A, you know, they like, thanks for coming. And they like almost hug you. They hug you with a smile. How about that?
Have you seen that meme where like it's something about, if Chick-fil-A gives me the wrong order, I just accept it and figure that's what's best for me.
I made a mistake somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, I have never checked theirs. And like three times out of my 62 years, they've made a mistake. But it was always for the better.
You better believe it was.
They're right. I didn't want what I ordered. This is great.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can't believe that whole Popeye's chicken thing. It's almost been a year since that whole... I mean, do you remember when, you know, people used to crowd together to order chicken and that was like our biggest problem was Popeye's ran out of chicken?
Yeah. things have evolved.
I know. The good old days.
Yes, chicken wars were so much more better. So much more better. Sorry about the grammar.
Have you ever heard the story about what Colonel Sanders said when he tried a Chick-fil-A sandwich for the first time?
I have not.
Well, that's another thing that's in that book by Truett Cathy. So you really got to put that on your reading list. Eat more chicken, inspire more people. I think it's in that book. Actually, now that I say that, I might have read this somewhere else. But someone asked him, Colonel, isn't that the best chicken you've ever eaten? And without missing a beat, he responded, second best.
Oh, he sounds just like him, too.
I know.
Second best.
Second best. My chicken's the best. This is second best.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Well, he's probably thinking, oh, my goodness, what do I do now? That's what he's really thinking.
The colonel? I mean, you know he's not with us anymore, right?
What's what he was thinking.
Oh, at the time.
I was probably there.
You probably were. So, anyway, it could be coming to the KFC near you.
We do know he's not with us.
Well, maybe we'll try their knockoff sandwich on a future podcast episode.
Yeah, maybe.
Just so we can talk bad about it.
Okay. Yeah, well, hey, I'm all for competition, you know, being out there and trying to make other places better.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bar has been raised too high, kids. Thank you.
Listen to the wisdom of Jim Mann. Well, I think that's about time for us to wrap it up. I think you're all out of wisdom for today.
I am totally empty.
If you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you do me a favor? Pick up your phone right now, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We'd love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with two N's, madeproductions.com.